Sportsnet 960.
Pinder, Klein, DeForest. Good morning, gents. Peter.
Morning.
What's happening?
Not going to lie, kind of hurting this morning.
Hurting.
Little sore.
Physically.
Yes.
Were you wrestling or chasing Pokemon
yesterday? I was not. No, I was actually doing semi-adulty things, playing slow pitch yesterday.
I was also playing slow pitch yesterday.
The problem was I did all right, which meant three hits.
You have to run the bases then.
Water running.
Yeah.
Legs are a little sore this morning. Mm-hmm.
Even if you're DH, you do have to run the bases.
Yeah.
That is the thing about baseball.
They had me at third base, which,
yeah.
Ugh. So not a ton of running there, but still, some.
No, I don't know where you were playing.
Not great.
Yeah. The fields that we played at actually had magically been transformed into a marsh after all the rain from Stampede Week. So, literally, the outfield was too long to get a mower into, too wet. So the grass is incredibly shaggy. There's mosquitoes flying around your ankles. And once you got about halfway to the fence, the whole outfield, your shoe would sink halfway into water.
Oh, nice.
First step, squish, wet sock.
Yeah. This diamond was okay, but right around the backstop was a little muddy.
Mm.
So you'd be running and it's fine and you're all your momentum carrying you past home plate. And it's fine. And then bit of a drop and you fall into the fence. So,
right. Now, Jay, this is a pretty, I don't know if you understand how lucky you are to be in the room with two slow pitch athletes this morning.
Yeah.
It's a distinct honor. So,
you guys going to be okay with your injuries there?
I'm not injured. Pete's injured.
I may not be. It's going to be a rough day.
Are you concussed?
Are you, did you make it through the
hit in the head? No, no.
We can
no
turn the lights off in there.
Yeah.
He sounds all right.
Sunglasses.
No, yeah, no shades. That's always the nice, good. Okay. Jay, did you play slow pitch last night?
No.
Did you watch the Blue Jays action in the afternoon?
I love
afternoon baseball. Oh, it's so good.
Why don't more sports do afternoon things?
Because they don't play 162.
That's fair.
And also, let's say the Flames were hosting the Carolina Hurricanes and they had a 2 p.m. game at the Saddle Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Who in the world would show up?
I think a fair amount of people would show up.
Well,
not as many as would at 7 o'clock at night.
That's
I'm being extremely selfish right now because I just like sports being on at 1 p.m.
Yeah, and also I think the Jays might have liked it too. Have a listen.
Corbin's pitch. Fly ball whacked the right field deep. That's heading for the wall. That ball is up and there she goes.
Travis gets his lead off third. Corbin working from the stretch. This ball hit in the air to left center field. It's deep. Michael Bourne's going back. He looks up. It's off the top of the wall.
Travis at third. Stroman at second. They take their leads. The 0-2 pitch. Fly ball deep center field. Long run for Michael Bourne. Still running back. Still running. Looks up and that ball is off the wall. Base hit. Travis scores. Edwin hits a fly ball deep left center field. A long, majestic drive. There goes another one for Edwin here at Chase Field in Arizona.
Whoo! You can play afternoon day games the rest of the year against the Diamondbacks in that ballpark, please.
Yes. Boy, they love hitting there, hey? Specifically, one very powerful first baseman sitting in Arizona.
Yeah, Edwin, you'll hear about this again today because we do have the three stars. I don't know how you could not. We'll see I don't know how it plays out. Somehow, the three stars, they're a little bit. You never really know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us. We get given a list, Jay, of the three stars. People think that we create the list. It's on the desk when I get here in the morning. I don't know who does it, but whoever did that list left Henrik Stenson off on Monday. So. Clearly.
Yeah.
Wasn't me.
Not you.
I'm absolved of any responsibility.
Couldn't be you. Nope.
So I haven't opened the folder yet with the piece of paper. We'll see who the three stars are at about 7:25 or so.
Pretty good guess, though.
Edwin should be in there.
The guy who hit the ball 470 feet.
Right, but something hilarious might have happened at some state fair where there was a float that,
true.
Someone fell off the float and it was funny.
I mean, all you needed to do to get first star yesterday was bring us breakfast. So
that's true.
Which was greatly appreciated, but in the terms of athletic competition.
Not very easy to do. There's a lot of people that could show up and bring us back breakfast and be in the running for the three stars, even though it's called the three stars of the night before. So we basically bend the rules for food.
For food.
Nothing else.
No, just food.
Just food. Yeah, and Edwin, he likes the ballpark. You've heard the numbers. He's hit 9 home runs there. I think he's only played like 16 games, 17 games there in his career. But that's missing the point because he's been there 8 times as a Blue Jay, has 9 home runs in those games. So all of those home runs have been with the Blue Jays, and he didn't do well at Chase Field with another team early in his career when he was a duster. He was playing third, making errors, throwing the ball away. A guy that was on waivers twice. That's crazy.
Yeah. It has been really quite the run for Edwin Encarnacion to go from being just random throw-in guy in the Scott Rolen trade to waivers to leading the American League by 10 RBI and being in the top 5 in Major League Baseball in home runs.
And just now every year, he's going to be up there in AL MVP votes. He was 2 years ago in Oakland. I think he finished like 6th. Last year, he wins it. Gibbons saying he's playing even better this year than last year, which was the MVP season. That's got to have some weight to it. Does it not?
Yeah. You'd have to think so.
Are you kidding me? Better than last year? And he was the best player in the league last year.
Well, and you look at the numbers and it's tough to argue. Like, he has been absolutely phenomenal so far for the Jays this season.
Not going to argue that. Very, very good. We'll hear from John Gibbons. We will hear from Edwin Encarnacion and that act of murder. He destroyed a baseball late in that contest to make it 10-1. 10-4 your final. What else do you need to know? Well, Boston, they won. Baltimore, they did not. Baltimore's hit the skids.
Yeah, that's been a bit of a rough go.
They're now a half game behind Boston for the division lead, a half game up on the Jays. Toronto, 1 game back of Boston. Those are your 3 teams in the AL East. And we've been saying it all year. Oh, we don't really like the starting pitching in Baltimore. But, you know, they can hit. Well, it's been awful.
Yeah. And the bats have gone a little cold there. And the arms aren't good enough to steal some games for them.
Yeah, and you knew the bats, they're going to be good all year, but it's just, you're not going to hit 5 home runs every single night.
Right.
We also have a bit of a doubleheader today. Jays are on an off day. They're heading back to Toronto. They'll finish the remainder of the month. They won't see another road game. Their next 9 games are all...
been a lot of home games lately.
Rogers Center. They've been on the road a bunch lately, but yeah, at least 5 in a row.
Well, no, I mean, like in the last little while, like they have the big homestand going into the All-Star break, and then they have a 5-game road trip. And all right, back home.
So today, with no Jays, your doubleheader, we have afternoon baseball for you again. 11 a.m. on Sportsnet West, Baltimore at New York. Yankees were looking to be sellers at the deadline, but they won their finale against Boston. They've won 3 in a row against Baltimore. That's 4 in a row, and they're looking to make it 5 today. With, I believe, CC Sabathia going against Chris Tillman, who's been the best and only really respectable pitcher in that Baltimore rotation. So decent game there. Then the Twins, who are bloody awful and just fired their GM, are in Boston. Drew Pomerantz made his Red Sox debut. He, of course, was the man for which they traded the Golden Goose, one of their great young prospects, one of baseball's best young prospects.
Top 15 prospect in baseball.
They sent to San Diego. For the big lefty, is that right? Is he a lefty? Yeah. And they're like, oh, you know, something about his release and the batter's eye in Boston is really dark. And they think that he's over the top. It's going to work really well for, well, got crushed pretty good.
Yep. They still won.
But when you allow 7 and win, probably not a tip of the cap to the guy who makes the start so much as the offense.
Yeah, when you need a 3 home run performance from Hanley Ramirez, things probably haven't gone the best for your starting pitching.
Right. There was that too, wasn't there?
Yeah.
All right, well, it's a CFL game day. We'll come back. We have a new CFL insider that I'm trying to get inked for this morning. I'll ask Jay if it's been vetted, because you can't just go throwing insider tags willy-nilly.
No.
This guy's newer to the CFL, but his popularity immense, so we'll see if... if we can get him on the airwaves, as we have a Stampeders report when we return on a game day, Stamps in Winnipeg. Going to Winnipeg.
Woo.
613, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Calgary Stampeder Report, brought to you by ATB Financial. Put your money where your heart is with ATB Financial. Bank on Alberta and bank on a strong return. Who's got your back? At ATB, we do.
Well, you heard the lady. We got to do the Stampeders report.
Totally planned it that way.
This is
That was in no way a mistake. We wanted it to go exactly like this.
Pete, just keep moving. It's in the past. It's already out into the airwaves. It's been played. It's gone. It never happened. Week 5 will open tonight in the Canadian Football League. No afternoon game. I'm really disappointed. I know you're really keen on the afternoon games after watching the Jays dismantle the D-backs yesterday.
Afternoon baseball today?
You, sir, are a D-back.
Ben's fighting words. The Jays have played the Diamondbacks 4 times, and I think Arizona's had a different jersey every year.
The ones they wore in Toronto were just horrific.
Yeah.
It was like black and blue with green. It was...
Ooh. Yeah, I don't get the like teal thing.
Yeah, those ones are the worst. The worst. And all their jerseys are quite poor, but
Pretty bad.
The one set they have, the worst.
Yeah.
What you need to know about the Stampeders tonight, 6:30 start in Winnipeg. Stamps 1-1-1. Winnipeg, they have a win.
Uh-huh.
And they held Edmonton to, 20 points. That's probably all right for their defense. And they're not good.
They're not good.
They're not good.
Really
I'm really trying. They're
quite,
not good.
Quite terrible at the sport of football.
Now, what is it? Andrew Harris is from the Winnipeg area?
He is.
He is Canadian.
Yeah.
This is a homecoming this year, is what he was in BC last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 100-plus combined yards in all the games this year. That would be a fellow to pay attention to, I believe. But maybe on the other side of things, Jerome Messam is your man to pay attention to. He rumbled over the Bombers on Canada Day here at McMahon. Bombers are the easiest team to run against in the league. Stamps amassed over 200 yards rushing in that victory. Bo Levi, 300-plus yards. And on top of that, when you win as big as the Stamps did, it looked even closer than it was because Winnipeg put up, 15 points in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, Drew Ilie became the king of garbage time and was able to slice through a couldn't-care-less Stampeder defense. But no, that game was not close. At one point, Winnipeg had a 7-3 lead, and then you look up at the scoreboard, and it is 36-7 for Calgary.
Three quarters of football, Stamps D allowed 7 points.
Yeah, in the Canadian Football League. That's impressive.
That is definitely the league it is. The injury story, Joe West placed on the 6-game injured reserve.
Yeah.
I'd love to say I'm shocked, but that would be just blatant lying. This is a man who struggled with injury issues, coming off pretty decent performance against Ottawa. It sounds like Lamar Durant, they wanted to get back in. We'll see if that's the case. Be a good time for him, given that Joe West has gone down. Mm-hmm. And Greg Wilson was practicing with the ones because of the injury to Joe West, so we might expect him to see. Would it be his first action of the year?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because he started on the practice roster. Also, later this week, we have Hamilton and Edmonton on Saturday, Ottawa and Saskatchewan on Friday, and Montreal Toronto on Monday. But one of the greater things, I know it's a Stampeders report, nothing more embarrassing. And I feel for the player because he hurt himself.
Yes.
But it is going to be like an all-time famous screw-up here.
Top tens forevermore now.
Nick Moore celebrated a touchdown for BC last week in the CFL. And while celebrating said touchdown, tore his ACL. He's done for the year.
Ripped it apart.
Oh, no!
Oh, no, indeed. A touchdown dance ended his season.
Did the jump where they jump up and bump shoulders into each other and came down and...
Like one that you and I and Jay could do.
Right.
And none of us would get injured.
The way we start the show every day. Or not.
We could. We'll just leave it at that. So to Nick Moore, you were lucky it didn't... This news was announced yesterday afternoon, not Tuesday afternoon, because it would have fit perfectly on Clean It Up.
It's really why Clean It Up was invented.
And if the surgery goes well, I don't want you to celebrate that, okay?
Right.
So just stay sedated, stay in the hospital
the football,
bed.
Just claps.
Maybe just stick to the old handshake with the doctor if that goes well.
Yeah.
Also, Jay, do we have a new CFL insider? I know we had Justin Dunk filling in for Arash Madani because Arash is on tennis and then to Rio. And those two guys, very established as CFL news breakers. But you were working on at least vetting a new CFL insider for the morning show.
Yeah, would you like to hear this?
Well, explain. Where did this come from? Who is it? And are we sure this is going to be good? I feel like we're full bus with Busby coming in Thursdays, and we already have Duncan Rash. Like, do we need another insider, really?
Well, we know that Snoop Dogg loves his Steelers.
Yeah,
doesn't like Josh Scobie, but
no,
loves the rest of them. He Instagrammed himself watching Canadian football.
And this motherfucker watching Canadian football, long ass field, get to go in motion any way they want to go, and the score is 4-0. You believe this? The score is 4-0. I think I'm gonna try out for a CFL team and see if I can get mine on. Come on, 4 points, 4-0. Crazy. What's going on? And Jim Bob is throwing a yellow challenge flag. A challenge flag? What the f***, man?
Long ass field.
Insider slash gonna maybe try out for a team.
Yeah.
His kid could try out for a team. I think Snoop, when you're in the States and you see the CFL, you probably think, oh, this is a men's league. No, these are really good players.
Long ass field.
From college. And yes, there is motion, I understand, in the backfield. It looks a little different, but they are still very good athletes. And yes, the scoring system's a touch different.
That being said, there's like six positions he'd be an upgrade for on Winnipeg right now.
A challenge flag? What the f***?
There's also challenges, yes. Yeah. But that's in the NFL. It won't be that hard to explain to you.
You can challenge different things up here, though.
That's true. But I feel like you could just explain that. Give him a list. Yeah. Here are the things that are challengeable. That'd be an easy adjustment. He knows already it's a long-ass field.
You believe this? The score is 4-0.
And yes, there's a single. So a field goal and a single. You get rewarded for missing field goals.
Tracy, what's going on?
Snoop Dogg, wrapping up your Stampeders report on a Thursday morning.
The Calgary Stampeder Report, brought to you by ATB Financial. Put your money where your heart is with ATB Financial. Bank on Alberta and bank on a strong return. Who's got your back? At ATB, we do.
We'll come back with a Pinder report. Peter Klein needs to get us caught up to speed in the world of sports. A lot of golf, a lot of baseball, and as you just heard, a long-ass field's going to get played on tonight in Winnipeg as we open week 5 in the CFL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Long-ass field.
Get back to Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960.
.626 on your Thursday morning. Off day for the Blue Jays. Canadian Open gets started. And the Stamps open week 5, amongst some other sporting news. You're going to go further into depth than that, right? I didn't just spoil anything.
That was literally all I had.
That's everything you had.
That's it.
Well, we still play the tags.
With the same detail.
I'm hoping you could have just,
stretch a little.
Just expand that a little.
I'll give it a go.
What else do we know about today? You said in the update, Canada's flag bearer is going to be announced.
Yes, at 9:30 this morning.
Is that in the Pinder report? Because if it isn't, I'd like to talk about it. If it is, I'll leave it be.
Yeah, no, it's in.
We got to get to the Pinder report. No screwing around anymore, Jay. Play the thing. It's not listening to me. Hold on,
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
And with the Pinder Report, Peter Klein.
Okay.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
We may as well start with this. Canada's flag bearer will be announced for the Olympics today at 9:30. Obviously, a number of athletes who would be in contention for this sort of thing, just off the top of my head. Andre DeGrasse could be.
Sprinter.
Brooke Henderson.
Golfer.
The golfer. Maybe Milos.
Tennis. He's not going.
Not going, though. So that can't be.
I mean, if he was going to be the flag bearer, it'd be very difficult to do so while not being at the Olympic Games. It would be precedent setting.
They'd bring out like a giant TV. Like him FaceTiming on it and just walking around.
Wheel him around the stadium. You could do it technologically. I just think that
it'd probably be better if you were there.
Probably someone.
Although, like, best of both worlds, right? Because then, like, you don't have to worry about getting Zika, but you're also the flag bearer.
Mm.
So.
Don't know that that's the team spirit they're looking for.
So, anyway, that announcement coming down at 9:30.
Graham Dillette?
Graham Dillette could be.
Who else? Do we have any other names? There's got to be some other stars. I know it's every 4 years we got to brush up on our Olympics, but come on now.
I think it's going to be Andre DeGrasse, personally.
I wonder, because the thought being, and I maybe it's just the Winter Olympics or a one-off that I'm remembering, but they seem to like a veteran that's been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to Brooke, you could go to Andre DeGrasse, but these are young people trying to have success. Do you need to put extra pressure on their plate? Because here's the thing, if they crush it, they can be the person that at the closing ceremonies gets to do the thing. So I would expect if there's a veteran successful athlete on the team, that's your safe bet. I just don't know who that is off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know who that would be either. The Blue Jays picking up a 10-4 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Josh Donaldson and Edwin Encarnacion hitting home runs. In the Snoop Dogg thing, you talked about the long-ass field. There are very few fields that could have held this home run.
Edwin hits a fly ball deep left center field.
Back.
A long, majestic drive. There goes another one for Edwin here at Chase Field in Arizona.
Wow.
It is 10-1, Blue Jays.
Jerry Howarth mixing up the call a little bit.
How many backs did he squeeze in there? Could you play that again? Because, I mean, that ball's still going.
Yeah.
I mean, way out.
Edwin hits a fly ball deep left center field.
Back.
A long, majestic drive. There goes another one for
16? 15 or 16? That is a lot of backs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Carried the whole time. 470-ish feet from Edwin Encarnacion in the 10-4 victory for Toronto. Marcus Stroman was fantastic. 8 innings, striking out 6. Shai Davidi with a piece on Sportsnet today saying Stroman is, you can start checking him off of the list of things that the Jays needed to worry about because he was fantastic. I get that it's Arizona, but he was really good yesterday.
Yeah, and it's 3 of his last 4 starts, I believe, if you look at the old game log.
Yeah, just the Oakland one coming out of the All-Star break.
And you know when Stroman's going, it's ground ballville.
Yes.
So
and
here's,
everything was low in the zone against Arizona.
It's low in the zone, and everything's a ground ball. There were 3 balls hit through the infield by the Arizona Diamondbacks that stayed in play, i.e. not foul.
Mm-hmm.
None of them left as home runs. There was 3 balls against Marcus Stroman that were hit out of the infield through 8 innings of work.
That's
when he's on.
Yes.
You know he's on when he's getting ground balls like that.
Yeah, he was dealing. The Blue Jays have the day off before they start a series with Seattle, and game one of that series goes Friday. It'll be the return of Marco Estrada.
Now, it was a milestone home run for Edwin. Did you know that? I mean, we talked about how good he was at Chase Field.
Yes.
He now moves into a tie with Vernon Wells for 3rd all-time on the Blue Jays home run list, so tip of the cap to him for that. The 2 guys ahead of him?
Not bad.
And won't be easy to catch because Edwin doesn't have a deal to return to the Blue Jays yet for next year. And I don't know that he's got, 30 or 40 more than Jose Bautista remaining between now and the end of the year.
And he's still 100 behind Carlos Delgado.
Carlos is miles ahead. And Carlos, just a little tangent here. If they go and decide to pay one of these guys, big dough, big term.
Yeah.
That's what they did with Carlos. And what it meant was back then, at least, because they weren't the revenue, factory that they are now in terms of attendance and TV ratings and memorabilia. I mean, Jays hats are everywhere. You see them all over. It's like the new
literally
Canada flag.
Wearing one right now.
Yeah. Back then, they signed Delgado to what he was worth, big time dough, long term. And guess what? They couldn't put much talent around him.
Right.
No, it's not the exact same because they're already paying a lot of guys on this roster. Tulowitzki's close to 20. Martin's 15. Donaldson with his Arbrights and the 2-year deal they signed, he's close to 20 now a year.
Dickey's not cheap.
Dickey's like 12, which for starters, all right. Hap's a little more than that. Estrada's at 15 for 2 years. So there's a lot of guys making big dough here. Mm-hmm. But my point being, if you decide to go long term with one of these 2 guys, you're probably not going to be able to add much else.
Maybe not. They are getting a lot more revenue this year. I still think they're tops in the American League in attendance. Their TV ratings, as we like to brag about here, are fantastic. So that could hopefully help the fine people in charge of this radio station kind of
loosen the purse strings, boys.
Slide a little bit more dough that way.
It's just $30 million a year is a lot.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And too much for 2 guys, 35 plus.
Well, and it would be per. That's what they'd want. I don't know that Jose's earned that, but look at what Edwin does. If he's probably the best slugger to hit the market in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Because I'd take him over Chris Davis.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd take him over Yoenis Cespedes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kidding me?
Defensive-wise, I was thinking for...
No, yeah, you're the player.
Stuff, but yeah.
He can DH.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to want $30 million a year.
Yeah.
If you do that, it completely limits what you're able to do elsewhere.
Yes. Speaking of Jose Bautista, he homered in his first rehab game for Dunedin, going 1-for-3. The plan continues to be Buffalo tomorrow for Bautista and then joining the big club on Monday. So an offense that is rolling gets a little bit better with Bautista coming back.
And the foot, apparently, feeling pretty good. That's good news.
Yeah.
Here's Jose after yesterday's long-ass field at Dunedin.
Feeling pretty good. Good enough to play, and today was the first test, and has been flying colors.
Pass the flying colors. That's good news.
Also in the American League East, Baltimore losing to the Yankees 5-0. Boston beating San Francisco 11-7. So the Red Sox move past the Orioles for first in the AL East. Toronto, one game back of Boston for first. Half a game back of Baltimore. The Blue Jays and the Orioles are the wild card teams in the American League. Toronto, 2.5 clear of Houston.
Baltimore doing the Tom Cochran sinking like a sunset. They had a five-game losing skid before the break.
Mm-hmm.
Stabilized a bit. Went into the break. Won their first game, two games, and since have lost three in a row.
Been a bit of a
ugly stretch for Baltimore.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head, I would guess 8 of their last 14 have been losses. Eight of their last 13.
About right.
We'll take a peek at
that. And not exactly a murderer's row. Like losing to the Yankees a lot of times in a lot of seasons isn't that bad. This year, not a good look. They finish off that series today at 11. The Stampeders heading into Winnipeg. Calgary 1-1-1, while Winnipeg is 1-3. This a rematch from week 2. Kind of an important game for the Bombers. They're trying to get back on
track. Long-ass field.
Trying to play on that long-ass field. Winnipeg, it's been a bit of a rough go for them so far this season. So with that, the in-game crew working on a lot of different things to try to get people motivated. We have an exclusive look of something that they're working on for halftime in Winnipeg.
What a great day for Canadians everywhere. The Winnipeg drummers playing the March of 1,000 Farts, as is traditional.
So Winnipeg, they're pulling out all the stops, trying to get the fans motivated.
Everyone raving about that new building.
Yeah, exactly.
The in-game production's phenomenal.
Yeah, just really game ops stepping their game up tonight.
The challenge flag, what the f***?
Probably see a couple of those tonight when the Stamps play Winnipeg at 6:30 tonight. This one should not be close.
And yet?
Probably will.
It's the
season. Can you believe this the score is 4-0?
4-0. How do you get to 4-0?
In other CFL news, we touched on a little bit earlier, Joe West placed on the 6-game injured list. Had been playing well this season, but this isn't exactly new territory for him either.
Joe West, injured? Paint my face with shock.
So talented, but ugh. Speaking of injuries, not a good day for Lancemore.
Ah!
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Celebrating a touchdown against the winless Saskatchewan Rough Riders, explodes his knee and is done for the season. Rough go.
Well, it was a good dance. I did watch it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He hurt himself pretty early in the dance, but it looked like it was going to be.
He still got a lot in, though. Like, they did all the hand clap
hand
stuff.
Wiggles,
yeah, no, that's.
Seemed like he had some rhythm going.
A little bit. The RBC Canadian Open teeing off today. 14 Canadians, including Olympians Graham Dillette and David Hearn. They're already out on the field at Glen Abbey with Tom Tom is in the lead. One stroke better than a number of golfers. Jason Day is one under through one. So really getting deep into the first round. Most of the Canadians teeing off later on today. Adam Hadwin is out on the course right now. He is even after playing four holes today. Again, 14 Canadians in the field. Still early on, and Mike Weir has already found a way to be over par.
It's been awful.
One over through two.
We don't want to talk about it, but he's an awful golfer now. Not that I've ever been anything but a dreadful golfer, which is worse than awful.
Mm-hmm.
He's been really bad.
He had an amazing stretch when he won the Masters and the Bob Hope and all of that stuff. But aside from that, not the best.
Tough decade for him.
Yeah. In hockey news, Brad Richards announcing his retirement from the National Hockey League. He will still be paid by the New York Rangers, though, as they bought him out. So he is still due $14 million from them.
Wow. Do you know what that's spread over? I'm curious. I always enjoy
I think
learning about people that are getting paid to not play sports.
It's not quite Bobby Bonilla. Like, I think it's still just 25, maybe? Bobby Bonilla is getting paid till 2032.
Wow. That's horrible.
It's awful.
In fact, Vinny LeCavalier, when he, at the time of his retirement, I think he's getting paid a few million bucks a year till like 2025, like almost for the next decade. He was bought out twice, I think, wasn't he?
Oh. I'd retire with that. Fine.
It takes a special player to be bought out and then sign another monster deal. Like, you really, that's not standard operating procedure.
Right.
LeCavalier found a way. I feel like Richards,
Richards
similar, but never really got the big contract after that first one.
Richards' buyout expires in the year 2026.
Oh, so how much a year? Half mil, a mil?
Well,
it might have been a non-compliance one or one of the freebies.
It's a compliance buyout.
Hmm. Gross.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. They're paying him 5 years longer than they're paying Henrik Lundqvist, Mark Stahl, and Derek Stepan. Lastly, from the World Cup of Hockey, Kyle Palmieri will be replacing Ryan Callahan on Team USA.
What are they doing here? Callahan, they've built a team of muckers.
Mm-hmm.
They left Phil Kessel off the bloody roster.
Archer Burger.
Arby's makes your hamburger.
How's your breath?
And now they get an injury and they don't even take the opportunity to
listen. Anytime you have a chance to take Kyle Palmieri over Phil Kessel, you got to take that chance.
Now maybe they asked Phil and he said no.
Already a shortened off season, a little bit shorter with the World Cup, maybe.
My arms are sore. I've been carrying the Stanley Cup around, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I can't make it to the tournament. How did they not pick this guy? I'm sorry.
How did he not make the first one?
There's another guy as well that I've forgotten. A very notable snub from the American squad. I will effort that.
Okay.
But Kessel not being on this team is crazy. There's got to be something going on here.
Yeah, like this is... For him to not make the initial roster was crazy. But then to have the postseason that he had, to be a Sidney Crosby away from being the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, to still not making it onto this team is absolutely insane. And I think this is going to the character issues and coach killer, whatever the hell the narrative was around Phil Kessel. This is absolutely ridiculous.
One other bit of NHL news. Mikhail Grigorenko and the Colorado Avalanche signed a one-year deal at $1.3 million. That was to avoid arbitration. I believe he was asking for $1.65. The team was trying to get him under $1 million. It's kind of a meet-in-the-middle thing, and they don't have to go yell at each other in a courtroom. So,
right.
Congrats to both parties for getting that done. The arbitrators continue to get paid to not do arbitration cases. I think it was like 23 of 24 a couple of years ago. It almost never gets to the boardroom. That's two now in 2 days because we had, of course, Marcus Johansson settling yesterday to avoid his hearing later in the day with a three-year deal with the Caps.
Right. Also, from the text line back on our flag bearer conversation, they're announcing that today at 9:30. Pretty good option, Christine Sinclair.
Sure.
That makes complete sense.
Adam Vancouverden, is he still rocking the kayak? I have no idea where he's at.
No.
If he is, that's a great candidate. He's
yes.
won before. He's been to, this would be probably his third Olympics. And also the text line, every time Pinder interrupts this report, I have to take a shot. Pretty sure I won't be going to work today.
You might die.
Don't know why you're forcing yourself to play Pinder interrupt drinking games. It's not going to end well.
At 6:42 in the morning on a Thursday.
It's supposed to spur conversation here, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. I have no problem with it.
Have I been...
No, I don't mind at all.
Jay, do you feel like I've ruined the Pinder report? Am I interrupting too much?
I mean, it is your report.
Yeah, it's your thing.
I'm just, like, kind of here to play South Park clips and Family Guy things.
You didn't actually have any wrestling references today, which I don't know if I'm impressed or disappointed. It's a little bit of both, to be honest. No Pokemon, no wrestling.
No wrestling. There was a lot of it yesterday.
You've grown up a lot, man. I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's... when you think of Peter Klein, you think of grown up.
It is 6:42. We will return immediately with a conversation from Glen Abbey, live from the media tent. Adam Stanley, his great writing on Canadian golf. You've heard, or you've read, but you have not heard him on this radio station before. He will be our Glen Abbey insider this morning to get us up to speed on our National Open Championship. That is next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
Since Warner gets 4 months off every summer, we have to change the name of the show for a while. Thanks, Rhett. Nice effort. Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Good morning to you. Your Thursday underway, as is the Canadian Open, live from Glen Abbey. We out west always were like, man, if they could just get a different time slot, maybe we could get this tournament out here. But then again, if it ain't broke, and it doesn't seem to be this year, don't go ripping it apart. Adam Stanley joins us now. He is live from the Glen Abbey. Sir, how are you today?
Really good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Normally, this tournament, before it even begins, the whining and the complaints begin about, oh, it's a tough time slot right after the Open Championship. No one wants to come over the Atlantic and play again. This year, it felt like they were going to be dealt the tournament another devastating blow with the Olympics. They moved up the PGA Championship, and yet world number one and two are there, and there's a field of 14 Canadians, many of which will be fun to watch because, A, the Olympics are coming up, and, B, there's some good, young, talented players that are out at Glen Abbey. What's the atmosphere been like? I have to think it's a better start than we would have anticipated 6 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, Jason Day, and Dustin Johnson, world's number one and two, that hasn't happened since 1997 when it was Tiger Woods and Greg Norman, of all guys, who were at Royal Montreal playing in the Canadian Open. So to have the both of them here, obviously it's great for the tournament. It's great for the fans as well. It's been pretty busy around here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tournament, like you said, just got started a few minutes ago, maybe about an hour ago. And the fans are already out in droves. I mean, it doesn't hurt that kids 17 and under, it's free for them. The weather has been mint since the week began, so that's been helpful as well. So, yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it seems like those two guys, Day and Johnson, are going to be the two that will come down Sunday with a chance to win. But, yeah, 14 Canadians in the field, all the way from Graham Dillette and David Hearn to a couple amateurs on the Golf Canada's national team, but yeah, it should be a great week. The golf course is looking good, and I mean, for all the back and forth about the scheduling, it actually works out not so bad this year, especially with the PGA Championship being just over the lake at Baltusrol, which is in New Jersey. So not terrible for the guys to get from there to here.
Yeah, for sure. Early on, there's a few players at 2 under. We may as well give everyone a leaderboard update. Six different players now at 2 under. The notable Canadians out there: Adam Hadwin is even through 4. David Hearn, remind us of how his tournament went last year. He's 1 over through 1 because I recall him in the thick of things very late. In fact, he was in a playoff at the Greenbrier just a month prior to the Canadian Open. It was a decent run of his season last year.
Yeah, you got it. He was in the playoff in the Greenbrier, which was, I think, 2 weeks prior to the Canadian Open. Lost in that. Came to the Canadian Open with, riding good waves. And, he was in the final pairing on Sunday. The fans all serenaded him with O Canada on the first tee, which was one of those electrifying sports moments, that I'll never forget actually being there in person. Kind of had birdied his first two holes, which was great. He paired with Bubba Watson. Kind of didn't get anything going as the afternoon kind of wore on. And then at the end of the day, he did have to face, the world's number one ranked golfer, Jason Day, and then Bubba, who he was paired with. So he kind of fell back, finished solo third. Jason Day ended up winning, obviously. But, that was great for David's confidence. And he grew up not that far from Glen Abbey. He just in Brantford, which is about 25 minutes from here. So he's comfortable on the golf course. He's comfortable off the golf course here in Oakville as well. He's 1 over through 1, but it's a 72 hole tournament for a reason. So he's playing some great golf right now. I think he's gone 7 straight tournaments making the cut, and not sure if he's finished outside the top 30, 35. So just really, really steady golf from David Hearn of late.
We're chatting with Adam Stanley on the South Street Burger guest hotline. Made with 100% Angus beef, raised without antibiotics or hormones. Try our signature burgers or build your own South Street Burger. Better burgers, fries, and shakes. Adam Stanley is with us. Sir, Jason Day, this is a fun tournament for him. I know he's an RBC-sponsored guy, so he does show up, but this is sort of where it all started in terms of an incredible run for him. When he won last year, he's now world number one. He was not close to that last year at this time, was he?
No, he was in that top five conversation, and then all of a sudden he went on such a heater last year. It was crazy to see. He did win this tournament sort of in, I don't want to say dominating fashion, because he really had to win this golf tournament. He had to go out and do it. But then he went on to win three more events in his, I think it was six. I think he won four of six to end the season last year, including two FedEx Cup tournaments. So although he didn't get Player of the Year, Jordan Spieth with the two majors kind of trumped anything that Day did at the end of the year there. But he came out this year as well. He's already won three times on the tour so far this season as well. And is just playing incredible golf. And I watched him warm up earlier today before he teed off at 8:10. And you don't really think that watching somebody warm up would be fascinating. But to see Jason Day go through this almost surgical precision of a warm-up, and the way that he hits the golf ball, especially when he gets to the three wood and the driver, it's a game that I'm not familiar with, that's for sure.
These guys are unreal. I want to talk about some of the Canadians out there, because while we, Mike Weir is the old guard, and he's been dreadful for a few years, if we can be honest, and then you've sort of got this current era of guys in their prime, which I think Dillette and Hearn, you would say that. This is the time where they should win tournaments. But there is a lot of excitement about the younger Canadians that are in the field. There's 14 guys here. Maybe tell us about some of those 25 and under guys that maybe had played some college or just coming up from the web.com or the top amateurs in the country. Which names are you infatuated with watching this week?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, David Hearn and Graham Dillette, they're representing Canada in the Olympics in a couple of weeks, playing arguably the best golf, certainly of their seasons. You could say that they're playing the best golf of their careers right now, too. So they're in that that prime time of their career, mid-30s. They should win. They should win on tour at some point. But as far as the next level of guys go, Nick Taylor, he's 27, I think. He's got a PGA Tour victory already. So he's proven that he can win week in and week out. Adam Hadwin's about the same age as Nick Taylor, 27, 28. He played on the web.com tour, did extremely well there, is now in his second or third season on the PGA Tour. So he's another name to watch. As far as the young guns, there's a lot of guys who took this week off, and they're just playing on the web.com tour because they're wanting to come out to the PGA Tour. But I really like Blair Hamilton's game. He's an amateur, 21 years old, on Golf Canada's national team. Just a tremendous person, but also an incredible golfer. Has pretty much an All-American career at the University of Houston, which just wrapped up. So he's looking to take the next steps and start to play some PGA Tour Canada events. And then there's Calgarian Jared Dutoit, he's also in this field. And Corey Connors as well. Corey Connors played in the Masters a couple of years ago, thanks to his U.S. amateur finish. He plays on a Latino America Tour, Canadian Tour, web.com Tour. He's played 30 events already this year and has not missed a cut. So I would not be surprised if he, I'm not going to say contends, but I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the cut and has a decent decent showing this week as well. So Corey Connors, 24, I believe. So another young stud Canadian who have good a chance as any of these other guys to make some noise.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Dutoit. We had him on the air about a month ago. He was in Calgary for the Glencoe Invitational, which is one of the top amateur tournaments in the country. He won it. He was the only player under par on actually two over in an incredibly tough course we've got out here, that if you were going to host a major tournament, it would have to be at that one if you were going to bring the men at the Glencoe Forest. But Connors is another name we've heard in the last few years. Do you see this as the next wave, or are they just the young guys that we haven't seen yet on the stage, and that's why we're excited?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a little bit of both. The guys who are on the web.com tour this week took a pass on the Canadian Open. Taylor Pendrith, Adam Svensson, Mackenzie Hughes. Those guys, I think, are just, they've proven that they're the one level above anyone else who's here this week. So I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody like Svensson, maybe Pendrith. He hits the ball longer than anyone on this planet. Wouldn't be surprised to see them on the PGA Tour within the next 12 months. Some of the other guys, the amateurs, obviously still need to prove themselves to get just even onto the Canadian Tour. So certainly some names to keep an eye on over the next little while. But names like Svensson, Pendrith, Hughes, those guys we may see a lot more of sooner rather than later. But I do like Corey Connors' game a lot. He's just got a great head on his shoulders as well, and we may be seeing him as soon as this weekend in the spotlight.
We're chatting with Adam Stanley, golf writer and a Web.com Tour insider. Why are these three Canadians not at this event? I find that curious. Is the money or the points on the web that important that they need to stay focused there? Because I feel like this would be a coming out party for them should they play well at the Canadian Open, where, yes, it's a PGA event, but beyond Day and Johnson, it's not like, this is the toughest field of the year. This could be a place to make a name for yourself.
Yeah, it's a good point, and they did play in this event last year, but this time around, the guys who I mentioned, they're in the mix to get their PGA Tour card for next year. They're pretty close to the top 25 on the Web.com Tour at season's end. Anyone within that top 25 gets a card on the tour for the following season. So I think it's just an opportunity that they see that if they do, they play on the web and they win on the web, then they've got their whole year set for the following year. If they come here to the Canadian Open and play well, then they'll make a really good paycheck, but it really won't help them at all in terms of, in terms of their season and their career moving forward. To your point, sure, if they go out and win this golf tournament, then that's a whole other story. But for now, I think they kind of just needed to weigh the pros and cons. And it seems like playing on the web tour and growing their growing their stature there and trying to get some more prize money to climb up that money list is definitely more important. And if they're talking 1 week versus 52 weeks, you got to hand it to them and just go out there and let them play on the web. And it was a fair enough point. And it allowed someone like Jared Dutois to come into this field. If some of those guys on the web had said yes, probably some of the amateurs wouldn't have made it in. So.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you clarified that for us, because, man, if they can get a card, they'll be here every year for the rest of their careers,
exactly,
right? So go ahead and take care of business on the web.com, and we'll see you next year. Hey, for those of us that haven't gone out there, and that would be most of our listeners here in Calgary, what is this tournament like? What's the vibe? And you mentioned singing of O Canada for David Hearn. Are there any sort of, things that make it special, unlike anything else, that are moments at points in time in the tournament that you really need to be there to see, or traditions that we don't know about if we're just watching on TV?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, on Fridays they have Red and White Day, so everyone from the volunteers to a lot of the Canadian players, they'll all wear red and white, and the people who do come to attend this event are they do it up pretty well. There's a lot of food trucks. They've had other events around the Oakville area. Oakville is about 30 minutes west of Toronto, so it's not really Toronto. It's a suburb, but it's close enough. You can see the CN Tower from the drive out of the golf course, which is pretty neat. And it's just this golf course, as some people may know, was built in the 70s. It's a Jack Nicklaus design, and it was built for the sole purpose of hosting the Canadian Open. Now, there's no other golf course in the country whose business objective was just that. So that's why, although you may get the comments about the course or about why are they going back to Glen Abbey year after year, well, it works. Golf Canada's office is here. RBC is super close to downtown, so they can have their hosting events and stuff like that. And Glen Abbey is just a spectator friendly golf course, so it's going to be back here again in 2017. And I don't know, it is what it is, as the sports cliche goes. It was built to host this tournament, and they do a good job.
Yeah, and you know what? I think we have to tip our caps to RBC and what they've done, because this is a challenging spot on the calendar. They've found a way to get very good talent to show up. They've thrown all kinds of dough at the issue, which you probably have to do with pro athletes. You can't send nice Christmas cards inviting them to play. It's you know what? Put a logo on your shirt. Here's a big check. Now you have to come to our tournament, and I think it's really improved the quality. Just a thought on the job they've done in sort of getting creative to help alleviate the issue of the spot on the calendar.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And they actually just announced prior to the tournament beginning today. So they announced yesterday that they've extended their sponsorship of this golf tournament for another 6 years. So it goes all the way until 2023, their sponsorship extension. So that's just great news for golf in this country, whether you are on the West Coast or way out on the East Coast, to know that there is a committed sponsor to the National PGA Tour tournament in this country for the next 6 years, it's a good news story. So RBC certainly has proven that they're invested in golf in this country. And yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with respect to calling it creative. Like, they went out and built this Team RBC, and they certainly got the Canadian golfers who were going to be here anyways, but then they picked out guys from a variety of different worldwide markets. I mean, Graham McDowell's here, great fan favorite. Brant Snedeker has won this tournament before. He's here. Matt Kuchar's here. And then obviously Jason Day is here. So these guys are multiple tour champions, and people love to come out and see them. And they're just like good dudes as well. Like, so RBC must have like a nice, a nice roster of people that they want to go after. And they've done a good job in choosing some people that they know the fans want to come out and see.
Hey, great following your work, and even better to get you on air finally. I know we had talked in the spring about it, but the time couldn't be better. Live from Glen Abbey, we love your first hit here. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Happy to do it.
Adam Stanley, you can check out his writing at adamstanley.ca, golf writer, web.com, tour insider, and a guy who is all over Canadian golf. Good stuff there.
Yeah, clearly knew his stuff. That was really good.
Do you have a young Canadian golfer you are cheering for in this? I feel like we've had Dutoit on the show, so we got to cheer for him, but he is an amateur at an event full of pros. So I suppose just getting to the weekend would be an achievement of sorts. You know how at the Masters, there's always the, there's this amateur we haven't heard of who hasn't gone pro yet, and everyone just cheering for him because you're a huge underdog. You're not a pro yet.
Obviously, I mean, not going with the most dark horse type of pick, but I kind of want to see Graham Dillette do well again. Good old Sasky boy.
Mm-hmm.
And said he had anxiety with his short game, so would like to see him correct that with the Olympics coming up. Quickly, not a great start for Adam Hadwin. Starting on the back nine, a couple pars, and then a bogey on 12, birdie on 13, a triple on 14.
Oh, I can go triple one of these holes. Come on, Adam. That's an Abbotsford guy. Shucks. You know what? One wish for this tournament. Another Sunday like last year where you had a Canadian against one of the best in the world. That would be pretty cool. We'll see how it unfolds, and how many of the 14 get to the weekend will also be a storyline. Also, I wasn't really familiar with the storyline in terms of Pender, Svensson, and Hughes. Now, you've heard a couple of those names, to be sure, but they're on that web.com money list trying to get to their top 25. All those guys will get to play on the PGA next year. So good luck to them.
Yes.
At an event not named the Canadian Open this week. 7:02, we'll come back with some NHL conversation. The top free agents available. We were making our way through this list yesterday when Rhett Warner showed up with breakfast sandwiches. So
derailed everything.
Perhaps we could get a little more thorough with what exactly is left out there and which of these fellows will be Curtis Glencrossed, if you know what I mean. I think I don't have to explain that, do I?
No,
you're a good player. You were expecting to make money. The offer doesn't arrive, and
that no offers arrive.
Maybe I'll just hang with the family, do some charity work, maybe go hang out at some rodeos, see my buddies.
A couple golf tournaments.
Career over.
Yeah.
Is there one of those on this list? We'll take a look when we come back with Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. 7:03 on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.